Good evening. Please stand as we sing number 209, Like a River Glorious.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright and free. Perfect yet in flowing, fuller every day. Perfect yet in growing, deeper.
I mentioned this morning I do not like desserts, but Brother Mike found my kryptonite. How many of you have ever had a deep-fried Oreo? He offered those to me. I had one a while back because he cooked one a while back. Then he offered me one this morning, and it's one of those things that it's kind of like that potato chip commercial. If you eat one, you just can't eat one. So I even let Miss Reese try it, and she said, oh, that's really good. And then she says, I'll die. It'll be called death by sugar. And I thought that's pretty kind of neat, but they were really, really good. And I told Mike, I said, if you're going to cook them, cook those vanilla ones with the double vanilla flavor inside there, because I don't even like chocolate Oreos. I don't like hard cookies. I don't eat chocolate Oreos at all, because I'm not real wild about the chocolate. But for some reason, those deep-fried Oreos, I mean, they are really, really good. And they're even better when they're warm. They're better any time, but they're even better when they're warm. If you haven't tried one, you'll just have to ask Brother Mike to fix you up with some deep-fried Oreos. But if you have diabetes, please only eat in small pieces. And if you have leftovers, you can see me, and I'll help you through that. I don't want you in trouble. So if you have to, I'll help you eat your Oreos so that you do not have any issues with your sugar. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the ones saved this morning. Thank you for your blessings. We ask you, Lord, tonight that you'd meet with us again. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, if there's someone lost that comes in the service, we're online, that they'd hear the gospel and receive you. I pray, Lord, you'd help all of us that are saved, that, Lord, we might get something that will challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
We will be singing 421, My Sins Are Gone.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, he's good enough for me. Pray.
was at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living now for Jesus, I'm happy night and day, because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music, with all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God, forgetfulness, it's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
When I lead songs, Sean, that's one song I do not sing, so... He asked me this morning, he said, did I mess up during the invitation? I said, I don't know. It's kind of like having parts. We had a part over here singing and a part over here singing and Sean singing. I said, but when I'm talking, I can't tell who's with the piano and who's not. I said, I'm not sure who's with the piano, but everybody was not. That's all I can tell you. But I said, you just have to sing loud so they can hear you. He's usually not very shy, but if he thinks he's wrong, then he gets a little quieter. So the song leader's never wrong. The people who do not follow correctly are wrong. So just that's what you have to keep in mind. I have a note on the outside of the door that says two rules. The boss is always right. Rule number two, when the boss is wrong, go back to rule number one, which is the boss is always right. So, all right. Mentioned this morning, there's still some back there. If you need a Bible reading chart, again, if you read four chapters a day, you can read the Bible through in 1 year. So there's some back there. If we run out, we'll make up some more. These folks are the folks that we have a lot of folks sick. Some of them are our church folks, some of them are friends. During the service. And by the way, if you have your phone, if you leave it on vibrate and you have Amber Alerts, it will still, you say, how do you know? From experience. but not a good experience, by the way. But if you have your phone on, the Amber Alert will come on. I don't know how to shut the Amber Alert off on my phone, so I just shut my phone completely off every service, so I don't have to worry about any of that. But again, don't forget the normal stuff going on this week. We're on our regular schedule, which means Wednesday night, 7:30 for prayer and Bible study. Thursday night, soul winning, 6:45. Youth activity, Friday, 6 to 7:30. Bus visitation, 9:30 on Saturday. And then soul winning at 10:45. And then back in our places for Sunday school at 9:45, church at 10:50. Don't forget, as I mentioned, to pray for Preacher and Cindy every day. With Preacher's underlying conditions and his weakness, COVID would not be a good thing for him. So, again, keep Preacher in prayer. I ought to pray for him every day anyway, but especially when we know when he's at higher risk than normal. And, again, if you know of someone that needs to put on the prayer list, I always try to, Ms. Milliken sends me a list of anything you've sent into the prayer chain. But if you have someone else that have a relative or friend, if you'll get it to me, I'll mention it from the pulpit. That way we can pray for your relatives and loved ones.
Please stand one more time as we sing In the Service of the King, number 397.
I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring. In the service of the King. In the service of the King. Every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. Through the sunshine and the shadow I can see. Service of the King, in the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. All that I possess to him I gladly bring. In the service of the King. In the service of the King. Every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing. In the service of the King.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come once again thanking you for the opportunity that we have to be here this evening, Lord. And as always, we're just so grateful for everything that you give to us and do for us, Lord. And as we take up the offer now, I pray to help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
What was that young lady's name that got saved this morning? Belinda? Melinda. I want everybody to pray for Melinda. Most of you would probably recognize the husband. He comes quite often and sits in the back. But this morning that was his wife. He'd been trying to get her to come to church and working on her for quite some time. She got saved this morning, so pray for her and the family. Again, I mentioned in my prayer a while ago that she got saved, but I want you to pray for her and the family. So again, don't forget to pray for her. That was called... Jesus, he's everything to me. Jesus. I thought that was. Brother Bajot said that last. How many, the last song, how many of you, that was one of the first times you'd ever heard that one? See, you're out. You're just, you ought to come to church more often.
Come on, y'all. Be honest. There were more hands. There should be more hands.
We'll be singing Nearer My God to Thee, 203.
Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still my song shall be, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer.
Wondering why you're seeing so much of me today is because there are a lot of people that are out for various reasons, so I'm covering, playing back up. This is a song I wrote a few years ago, but I'd stuck it back in one of my notebooks like I do a lot of times and didn't think about it anymore until I was looking through my stuff, what was it, Friday evening, and I ran across it again, so I put the chords to it. It's more than enough. It's enough to get heaven for a sinner such as me. It's much more than I deserve, but it's mine, promised by Jesus, the one whom I serve. But it's more than enough to me. Happy rewards for service, faithful and true. Lord, just for doing what we should do. Jesus loves sharing his riches with us. The heaven to me is more than enough. Jesus has made us joint heirs with him. All that is his, we own it with him. It's more than we could ask, given to us. When heaven alone is more than enough, it's more than we could ask to be given to us. When heaven alone is more than enough.
Man. Brother Nichols texted me Friday, I believe it was, and said he was quarantined. He told me to get Kurt to preach one Sunday night, Adam to preach the next Sunday night. So you can guess which one Adam's going to preach and which one Kurt's going to preach. You can figure that out on your own. But again, it's always a blessing to hear. Again, if you missed, and I was sad that they didn't get to record it, so we'll just have to have the guys preach again sometime in the future. But if you missed the Friday night that our young guys preached, some of you hear that Friday night for the Watson Night service. I came just to hear the guys preach. and the ladies sing and get some food. And then I went home. So, I mean, I didn't plan on staying the whole night. But Sean kept trying to blackmail me. He kept saying, "Well, Block, if Miss Bell stays till midnight, are you going to stay till midnight?" I said, "Sean, I really like Mrs. Bell, but I don't care how late she's going to stay. I'm going home," because I know what Sean was going to do, because then he was going to call Mrs. Bell and say, "Mrs. Bell, if Brother Block stays till midnight, will you stay till midnight?" Because Sean's really, he's evil like that, and he's very conniving. So I said, "No, Sean, I will come and hear you preach." And I got to hear the other fellows preach that night. Brother Howard preached, Jose preached, Adam preached, Sean preached, and who else? Was there five? Is that it, just the four? There was someone I was supposed to preach and didn't. And then we had several of the ladies' groups and some of the guys that sang as well. Really good preaching and singing. If you missed it, you missed a blessing. So we'll have to try to get the guys to do it again sometime in the future. But, again, I always appreciate our young guys that, again, if you've never spoken public, you have to understand there is no, you can't go back and erase stuff. You can't go back and delete stuff. You can't change stuff. When it comes out your mouth, it comes out your mouth. Until you've been behind a pulpit or behind a microphone, you don't understand how scary, how privileged that is, but also how scary that is. If you've ever sang behind you, you realize you can practice 20 times out there. You get in here, and it's, are you leaving? Oh, no, there's nothing to be scared of. But if you've ever practiced for 20 times and then you stand in here, it's completely different when you stand here and start singing or playing or whatever the case might be. So Sean always tease Sean about that. And because of Sean, again, I said, "Sean, it's not the same when you get up behind the pulpit, when you're in front of everybody and you're the voice that everybody's paying attention to." But if you've never been there, that's why you should always pray for anyone that stands behind the pulpit. Ask God to help them and use them, speak through them. So tonight, Kurt's going to come and do that. So grab your King James Bibles and pay attention.
Deuteronomy chapter 4. My father is in the hospital right now, emergency room. He had been dehydrated. He didn't have enough nutrition in. And he was starting to actually show signs of dementia and confusion and different things like that, frustration. So keep him in prayer. They do have some fluids in him. And as well as that, they've also gotten to, take care of some of that nutrition. And, you know, he still is not very, he's not very mobile at all. He's very, very extremely weak. So if you would keep my father in prayer, I'd appreciate that. Especially my mother as well. She's wanting to take this upon herself, and it's like, "Mom, you yourself don't have the strength." I mean, after talking to her one evening, she had been up all night with him, praying with him, reading to him, singing to him, and I was like, "Wow, you are really taxing yourself, and you're just not going to be good for either one of you in this state. So get yourself some rest and some sleep." And she did. That's been a blessing. Keep them in prayer, I pray. That may be some of why I've got a little bit of a, I don't know if it's acid reflux or something like that. Usually it's a stress-induced that I have it. It's not usually something I ate unless I just binge on pizza and stuff like that, and I haven't. So, but for some reason there's some, I guess that was a stressful thing that I've been thinking about and have it on my mind and weighing on me. But keep them in prayer, please, I ask of you. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 32. It says in verse 32, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and asked from the one side of the heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord is God. There is none else beside him." Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, one chapter over, starting in verse 12. "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, two chapters over. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we'll be in verse 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh, unto all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy, Lord. I pray that you please meet with us as I know that you are here with us now. Father, I pray that you do a work. Fill me with thy spirit from on high. Lord, speak through me. Use me that you might be honored and glorified. In Jesus Christ's precious holy name we pray. Amen. Here, if you go through and you hear these verses and there's some things like they do stick out with me as I was reading through the passages, two words kept sticking out and jumping out at me. One being mighty, and the other one being stretched. It's speaking of his mighty hand and his stretched out arm. I saw those things and I started thinking, wow, that is absolutely incredible. And see, and there are some parallels, I believe, that are contained in these verses between the children of Israel and us as Christians. You see, those two words, mighty and stretched, I'd like us to look at those first. Then I'd like us to look at the parallels. And then I'd like us to look at what we're to do about them. First, the word mighty. Mighty, great, impressive power or strength. Impressive power or strength, that word mighty. Then, secondly, the word stretch, to extend in length, to reach out, to extend to the utmost. You see, these verses were spoken by Moses to the children of Israel, and they were spoken to the children of Israel in reference to God's deliverance from Egyptian bondage. If you'll go back in your mind to there in Exodus, and you'll realize that that's when God had called Moses to go and to deliver his children, Israel, from Egyptian bondage. You see, since the time of Jacob and Joseph, Israel came to reside in Egypt. And they were actually residing there on invitation. You could read about the time of Joseph and Jacob and going to reside there in Genesis chapter 39 through 47. Go to chapter 47. I want you to see this. It actually was pretty intriguing to me the way that this it had said this. In Genesis chapter 47, we have already that Joseph has been used of God, the providence of God. He took a young man by the name of Joseph, and he was sold into slavery by his brothers, by his own kin, by his own family, taken. Now, at first, they were thinking to kill him and slay him. But later, what they decided, you know, one of his brothers thought, well, you know what, let's just throw him in a pit, and we'll sell him later. I'll come and deliver him and, you know, whatnot. But what happened, they went back to their father and said, he's dead. We found this. Is it his? And his father, Jacob, saw that this is his son's coat. And, I mean, he was heartbroken, you know. And so then, though, God used Joseph in this way to take him into Egypt. First, he was at Potiphar's house. Then he had rose to such high prominence that, you know, Potiphar didn't even know what was in his hand or in his bank accounts or in what, you know, what he contained, what he owned. He just knew that, you know, there's food in front of me. And the only thing he had kept from Joseph was his wife. But she set her eyes upon Joseph and sought to take him. And he was doing what he should and was, you know, like, no. I'm not going to, you know, take advantage of this position. I'm not going to sin against God. I'm not going to sin against my master. And then all of a sudden, she then sought to try to take him by force. And he took off running. She had his cloak or his clothing in her hand and then lied upon him. So therefore, he was thrown into prison. And then in prison, he then rose to prominence, you know. And in prison, he became, you know, basically in charge of all the prisoners and their care. And then all of a sudden, we have the butler and the baker and the dreams and the visions that they had. And after those visions came to pass, then the butler had forgotten and been placed back in his position and forgotten about Joseph saying, hey, when you go back before Potter or before the Pharaoh, remember me. And he had not. And then therefore, God had had Pharaoh have a vision. And he sought to try to find out what these visions meant, what the interpretation of. That's when the butler said, ooh, I have sinned. I did wrong. There was a young man over here. And he, when we both were thrown into prison, you know, I mean, he put himself in danger here when he says, do you remember when, you know, I was thrown in prison, I had upset you, and so did the baker? Well, it came to pass because we had a vision, and we had dreams, and this young man there of the children of Israel interpreted these dreams. So they called for him, brought him over. Next thing you know, the Pharaoh had gotten the interpretation of the dream and said, who should we set before this? Who is there that has the spirit of the Lord, you know, God like this? You know what, we're going to set you. He was used by God to save the nation of Israel. And there in chapter 47, look into verse, let's start in verse 4. They said, moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn, this is the children of Israel who are now set before Pharaoh to tell him, you know, why we're here. And he says, for they said, moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. Look at verse 6. The land of Egypt. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, make them rulers over my cattle, because they were herdsmen. But you see, they were given the best of the land. They said, Egypt is before you. You brought your fathers here, your brethren are here, and all that they have, choose it out. But see, from this time, then, in Exodus, we have one of the saddest statements there. It says in Exodus chapter 1 says, now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. I mean, Joseph was used to deliver the Egyptians and many others. And matter of fact, to make the Pharaoh the wealthiest man on the face of the earth. But at this point in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Exodus, it says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. From here, we have Israel going through terrible bondage and persecution, servitude to the Egyptians. Here we have Moses. We have Aaron. We have the burning bush. We have Pharaoh and the rebellion to God's order to let his chosen people, Israel, to let them go, to let the people go and come out of bondage. Then we have the plagues. Now, if you ask, you know, do you know any Bible stories? Do you know a Bible story? You know, it's really hard to find young people now that know any of the Bible stories. And when I say stories, I don't mean something once upon a time this took place. No, I mean actual accounts, historical events that took place that have been recorded in God's word for us. You know what? It's really hard to find young people nowadays that know any Bible stories. You have to many times take them all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And I don't mean just little children. I mean young people, teenagers. They just I've heard that. Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but I've heard mention of Adam and Eve. I've heard mention of a garden and, you know, ate the apple. It's like, well, didn't say apple. I mean, I don't know who, you know, demonized the apple. I don't know what was all about that, but one of the things that I've noticed is that I've come across more so young people that have heard about the plagues. That, oh, the different plagues. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and it's like, oh, wow. You don't know about Adam and Eve in the garden, the fall of man, and then Noah and the ark. I mean, but you've heard about these plagues. I don't know what that is all about. But I mean, does anybody know the plagues in order? Does anybody know? What's the first plague? Anybody? What was the first plague? The blood to water. Yes, the blood to water. That was absolutely, people's blood just began water. I mean, they could drink, you're going to cut and take a drink, you know. No. The water to blood. That's my wife, okay? Oh, my goodness. The theology in my own home. Oh, my goodness. Huh? Yeah, the theology in my own home. Now my kids have got it twisted. No. What was the second plague? Blood to water, or water to blood was the first plague. Second plague? The frogs. The frogs. Can you imagine? I mean, I have frogs on my property. Brother, I'm out one day shooting frogs with my BB gun, and I'm just popping them, and Brother Bach goes, you know the frogs eat mosquitoes? And I'm going, you're right, they do, Brother Bach, but it's kind of, they're all over the place, and they just kind of, you know, I'm walking along, and all of a sudden something jumps in the middle, you know, in the dark, and I'm like, what was that? It's a frog, and it's freaking me out, and so I'm like, you know, I found out that coyotes and raccoons and buzzards, they don't eat the dead frog. They just sit out there, dry up, crust up, and now I have dead frogs all over my property. They're just carcasses are laying there, and they just toughen up, and it's crazy. So I don't shoot the frogs with my BB gun anymore. But frogs just everywhere, in everything, absolutely just ridiculous. I mean, not just a few frogs. I mean just frogs upon frogs. I can't imagine trying to climb into bed with a bunch of frogs and then all of a sudden saying, okay, I'm going to sweep them all off, and then as I go to bed and lay down, that they're just hopping up on top of me again. It's absolutely crazy. But the frogs. Third one. Anybody? Yes. What? Mom's saying no. No, we didn't teach that one. That's a demerit. Yes. The flies. We have the flies. We have the lice, actually, and the flies. And then we have it's the cattle now. Now we're at the cattle. Okay, the murrain, the beasts, and the livestock just dying of disease. But none of these things were happening to the children of Israel. It was absolutely amazing. It was miraculous. And then we have the boils and the blains. Sore after sore. I mean, not just Job, when he was sitting there in ashes and just taking a pot shirt and scraping himself, just wishing himself to die. I can't imagine the wise men and the soothsayers and the astrologers coming to Pharaoh and saying, I don't know, we can't produce this again. This is crazy. I mean, seriously, Pharaoh, let them go. I mean, please let them go, you know. But still, the Pharaoh just continued to harden his heart and would not let God's children go. Then the hail that came, and then the locusts that, I mean, can you imagine just having all your crops devoured? Everything just devoured. I mean, I think of the 7 years of famine that took place, and then how Joseph was used to institute where they had stored up. But guess what? Here they are, and all of a sudden locusts cover the land, and every single green thing just keeps getting eaten and eaten and eaten. I couldn't imagine this to go all over the place and just across the land. But I can tell you that, guess what? Cows like to eat green things. Yeah, I noticed this. If you do not protect green things on the property, it gets eaten. It gets eaten. I said to myself, oh, wow, thank you so much for this oak tree. This is awesome. I'm going to plant this. I will not get to enjoy it, but maybe my great-grandkids will enjoy this oak tree. I put it in the ground, and the very first thing that happened is the cows came over and ate on it. And I was like, are you kidding me? They killed it. That's it. It's dead. It can't suffer that kind of traumatic event. You know, just right. It just got put in the ground. So I'm depressed. And all of a sudden, I saw a little green sprout. Oh, I stood there and I was like, oh, you're so cute. You're alive. There's life. I am going to put and build a little thing, a fence around you. That's exactly what I'm going to do. It's late right now, but I'm going to do this tomorrow. I came out there and that piece was gone. And I saw cow patties. So I knew exactly who did this. Let me tell you something. I can't imagine some little creature, a locust, just completely devastating all your crops. The cows, it's easy. It's easy to deal with the cows now. I just, gap, 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 get away from that, you know, and they get away, you know. But then the darkness. Now listen, I've seen dark. I've been in dark. And then darkness where it felt heavy. I mean, it was so dark, I was like, I don't know what to do really, but I think I'm on a path. And I kept walking, and I kept walking, and I heard voices, and so I kept walking towards the voices, and I'm like, oh, this is good. And all of a sudden, I hear shouting, stop, stop, stop. And I'm like, okay, I'm stopping. And then they shine flashlights over, and they shine, and there's this big drop way down there. And then the path turns right here and goes around, and they're way over there. I was walking towards those voices and about to just plummet right off. I was like, oh, I'm not a big fan of dark. Yeah, it's just, no, I prefer the light. But the 10th one, last, who knows? The death of the firstborn. The death of the firstborn. Do you realize that the firstborn was a very prominent, honored position? Very honored to be the firstborn in a family. The name carrier. I mean, wow, this is my firstborn. You know. But here, the death of the firstborn. Now, they could have escaped it, you know. They were warned. I imagine that there might have been Egyptians that thought, you know what, it's probably a good idea because every single one that Moses said was going to take place took place. Maybe we should get some, you know, and put the blood over the lintel and, you know, maybe we ought to do, and I mean, I don't know if Pharaoh said, if anybody of the Egyptians gets caught with blood on your doors, you're going to be killed. I don't know if he had threatened the lives of everybody else, but I know that his firstborn died. And it was then that he said, just be gone. Go. Get out. Other times he had actually said, okay, 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 just get rid of this and I'll let y'all go. I'll let y'all do as the Lord commanded you, but just stop. And then he changed his mind. And so Moses was used. Now, Moses was like 80 years old. I mean, can you imagine going before the most powerful man on the earth and you're 80? I mean, I'm not about to say anybody's name. Okay, so somebody old coming before this most powerful man and saying, the Lord said, let my people go. It's like, you're an 80-year-old man. Your brother's 83. Are you kidding me? Why should I fear you? Who are you? You know, be gone. But, listen, God revealed his might, his power over any and every other god. Other people have studied and saw that each of those contests were a slap in the face to gods that the Egyptians worshipped. I mean, they worshipped many gods, and those contests were slaps in the face of any of their gods to show and reveal that there was no other god that would be able to stand before the Lord God Almighty. I mean, the truth is, I love the illustration of Dagon, the god of the Philistines, how they had captured and taken and defeated the Israelites, and they took the Ark of the Covenant. You know, unfortunately, the children of Israel brought it out, you know, Eli's, Hophni, and Phinehas, evil sons, but they had brought that thing out there, and they thought more of it as like a good luck charm, you know, our totem, our token of, you know, power. But no, that's not the way God's not. He doesn't need to be carried and borne along. But they took it into their temple, into Ashdod, and set it before their god Dagon. And they woke up on the morrow, and all of a sudden, Dagon's bowed down before it. Yeah. Uh-oh, our god has fallen and cannot get up. Yeah. So they raised him up. And then on the morrow, after the morrow, they came back out, and now it's like, his head's missing, and his hands are missing, and they're laid there on the threshold. And there's just a stump left. Huh. I love it. I love the way the men of Ashdod said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us. It's like, I don't think he wants to be here. I don't think we got to get rid of the ark. Send it back. The mighty hand of God. I mean, he showed his might in all those plagues to deliver the children of Israel. And that's not even mentioning the fact that he parted a sea and they passed on dry land. Yeah. I mean, just, it's just so unfathomable. Fathomable. You know, speaking in tongues now. Okay, somebody will interpret that later. But, I mean, to just see these walls of water and just passing through. And it's like, my God just did this. Yeah. And then to bring it back on the Israelite, or the Egyptians, to destroy Pharaoh and his army. Second word, stretched. To reach out, extend to his chosen people. God is stretched unto a rebellious people, but he loves them. He's blessed them, and he will continue to bless them. That's the way we ought to feel about Israel. We want God's blessing upon them. We want them to dwell in peace. Amen. You should pray. They should be in your daily prayers, praying for Israel. We as a nation should back Israel. I've had to deal with people that hated Israel's, has hated Israel, hated Israelites, hated Jews, and talk bad about him. And even talk as Christians, they claim to be Christian, but they say, they killed our Jesus. And I'm like, well, let me tell you this. If you'd have been there, you'd have done it too. You'd have been crying, crucify him. When they smote him, or when they went to take him by night, you'd have fled it also. Listen, we should be praying because God has stretched forth his hand, and he called them out of, called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and then said, I've got a land which floweth with milk and honey, and it's going to be yours and your children and your seed after you. Listen, he has stretched out his hand unto this nation time and time again. Now, how does that parallel with us? How is that likened to us? You see, Psalm chapter 40, verse 2, many of you know this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. You see, his mighty hand saved me. With a mighty hand, O God, woe is me, thou wert pierced for me. The nail-driven hands, the hands that offered themselves for me, and friend, he offered them for you. Amen. I don't believe they had to fight him to put his hand upon that cross. I don't believe he was sitting there smacking and kicking and trying to fight and bite as they tried to. I believe he laid it out. Yeah. And he laid out the other one. There was only one way. And it had to be that way. Mighty, mighty precious hands, mighty, mighty nail-scarred hands, mighty, mighty to save, mighty find me faithful to the grave. He's mighty. He saved you. He saved me. Secondly, stretched. I don't know about you or how far he stretched for you, but I know how far he stretched for me. You see, each of us, if you're saved, you have everybody has a testimony, but a salvation testimony. But you see, I was able to actually look back and see, wow, God had started dealing with me way over here and brought me through my life to this place where I was right there. Yeah. And then eventually ended up right there. And after that, a new creature. Yeah. And wanting to start my new life. And then up in there. Now I'm telling you, I don't know how far he stretched for you, but I know exactly how far he stretched for me. Yeah. Listen, for me, August 7th, 1987, 16 years old, drugs, alcohol, immorality. I mean, I was as lost could ever be. I knew exactly what I was, and I knew exactly I deserved none of this. Yeah. I'm 50. I didn't get an amen. I'm 50. I'm 50. Oh, no, just kidding. Yeah, sure did. No. Actually, I was a 16-year-old boy, and I could do martial arts then. And now, I mean, you know, give me a cane and I'm able. Okay, anyways. So whack, whack, whack. You know, I'm going to kick you, I'll stretch something. Anyways. But listen, in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. It was the last verse that we looked in those passages and where we were looking at mighty and stretched. Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read down through this passage here. So follow along quickly, please. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not unto your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and unto their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until ye came to this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession and in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command unto you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it. Listen, you've seen things, how God has worked in your life, but our children, the next generation, they don't know that. My kids did not see the drunk. They did not see the drug addict. They don't know that. They just see this guy who's, you know, he's tied into church. I mean, he's just addicted himself to the ministry. He's a faithful churchgoer, works on buses, and does. That's what they see day in and day out. Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday evening service. That's what they see. And they get so used to it that it's just like, they don't realize with a mighty hand, he delivered me with a stretched out arm. In verse 19, it actually says this. So what shall we do? We've seen these great things. We've heard and watched the way the Lord's delivered us and done great things in our lives. What shall we do? The children of Israel, what are they to do? Parallel with us, what are we to do? In verse 19, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Heaven upon the earth. You know what? You want your home to be a little piece of heaven on earth versus a hell on earth? Amen. You know what? Don't be bad-mouthing the preacher or the program at Liberty Baptist Church or in your church. Don't be doing that. Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's one of the worst things you could do for your children. Yeah. Is sit there and like, you know, I don't know who he thinks he is. What? God's delivered you with a mighty hand, a stretched out arm. You should be praising the Lord. He's allowed you to be in a place where you can find service, where you can, the truth is, you can find real true friends. Real true friends. You say, I ain't got no friends at Liberty Baptist Church. I'm kind of off to myself. And if if you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Brother Pigeot didn't shake my hand. I noticed you didn't shake mine either. Matter of fact, it looked like I was shaking your hand, it was because I was trying to get you out of the way so I could go do something because I've been called to go do something, you know. Sorry, I really apologize. Next time, trip me, you know. And when I'm picking myself up off the ground because you lift down your hand to help me up, amen, you'll get a handshake, you know. Listen, let's teach the next generation, the young people. Listen, don't glorify sin. Unfortunately, I think that's may have what I have done with the first two of my children. I may have made it sound just a little too palatable. It should have sounded more like disgust and a detest for sin and ungodliness versus like it was fun. You know, drinking, some giggles. And the truth is, you know what, you're going to end up, you know, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is unwise. you're going to end up a fool. Don't give yourself over to it. Shouldn't have made it sound like, oh, yeah, I did some crazy things. Yeah, yeah, I did. And guess what? Thank God for his mercy, his compassion to take me from that state. I could have died in any one of those evenings. How many times I got behind the wheel. Got behind the wheel. I remember the last time I drank. The last time I drank. I walked in that door. She walked right by me with my daughter. She walked right by. And I hit the floor because I didn't even know how I got there. I don't even know who drove. I don't know who drove. Because I don't remember one bit of it. I didn't remember one bit of it. And I hit the floor and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I can't do this. What do you want me to do? First thing, get sober. How do I get sober? I'm drunk now. What do I do? All I could think of was AA. Well, God wouldn't use a disgusting, you know, program like Alcoholics Anonymous that don't glorify God. You know, your higher power, you know. I called it up. And some lady on the phone said, promise me you won't get drunk till this meeting. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I am drunk now. There's no way I can promise you that. She said, promise me you won't have another drink till after this meeting. I did not realize the vastness, the enormous promise that I was making right there at that moment. That was incredible. I call back once a year now. I call AA. I call that number and I say, I just want to thank you. Yeah. Oh, for what? For being on the other end of this line, because there was somebody on the other end. Somebody was there, made me make a promise that day. Now listen, my kids are going to hear about that. Not to glorify sin, but I want them to know that God has done great things, mighty works in my life. Amen. Did he part the Red Sea for you? No, but he sure did make my way straight. Amen. And it was my responsibility to try to walk it. Did God do these great miracles? Oh, I've seen immense miracles in my life. My dad to this day will say, you remember how bad you were? Yes, Dad, I remember how bad I was. Thank you for the reminder. I really think, no glory to me, but I really think because God had done that in my life that my dad saw something about this. He saw something about this because he saw how God had done something. It talks about that many will see and fear and trust the Lord. Yeah. My friends, old friends and acquaintances, you do what? I stayed hidden and like stealth-like because I was afraid of all the folks that I had crossed and things that had taken place, and I was worried about them finding out and wanting to harm my kids and my family and my family, that I worried. And then I realized, no, you know what? No, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. You know what? They need to see so that my Heavenly Father's glorified. Amen. When I started thinking that way, I'd get phone calls. Hey, could you talk to me? Yeah, about what? I'm not giving you any money. I'm not doing this. And no. Meet me. I'd meet. How do you really know you're saved? Whoa. Wow. Because they saw something. They saw that I believed it. They saw God did something in my life. And it's glory to God. Because the truth is, I do not believe I would be here today if it wasn't for God's mercy, compassion, his long-suffering. Yeah, I mean, to a rebellious, I mean, there are times, and you know as well as I do, you're not always doing what you're supposed to be doing. And yet God says, come on. Come on. Let's go. I'll get you there. Just come on. He's stretching out his hand. Yeah. Amen. When you seem to fall behind, and you're struggling. Come on. When you say, Lord, save me. And he reaches down to Peter. Yeah. Pulls him up. Folks, God, his mighty hand and stretched out arm. Let's teach the next generation. Everybody close your eyes, bow your heads, nobody looking around. I know I'm preaching to a lot of regulars here, but I dare say that there could be somebody here. It's possible that there's somebody here that does not know for sure they're going to.